Our theme for this year, if you know this, and we're going to do it every week just to keep it in front of ourselves, is that Jesus, He is the God of the impossible, and He is doing the impossible for me today. Would you say that with me? Say, He is the God of the impossible. Let's all do it together. You know what I mean? This is going to be, I have to be someplace at 3, so if I'm late, it's all on you all. So He's the God of the impossible, and He's doing the impossible for me today. You gotta do it with a little punch, a little attitude. You can't be weak about this stuff. Because the enemy's, John 10:10, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're polite with the enemy, you could be polite with everybody else, but when it comes to the enemy who will try to creep in at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, wake you up with some thoughts, and you're like, oh no, I didn't think about that. Or when you're driving alone, and all of a sudden you get that thought, what about this? Yeah. You don't want to say, He's the God of the impossible. No. That doesn't scare anything away. You got to treat the devil like a little dog that's yapping at your... You know, I was out walking just about a couple weeks ago, and I looked down, and you ever get that feeling like somebody or something's close to you? Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm just walking, minding my own business. I'm just on a road, and all of a sudden, I had this sensation that something's close, kind of like in this area here. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what is that? And there was a pit bull... No, I'm not lying. Pit bull, right, sniffing the back of my knee. Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you, Jesus. Here I come, Lord. No. And then his owner was nearby and was like, He's okay, He's just playful. Yeah, it's a little, yeah. He's sniffing the back of my knee. He looks hungry. Yeah. You know, if something's coming, sniffing around your world, you can't be, please leave me alone. I'll give you the name and address, even draw the map out to somebody that could go bother them. No, you got to rise up, come on somebody, and begin to say, no, not me, not here, not now, not today. Your friends bring home somebody from school or friends in the neighborhood, and they begin to talk the way they shouldn't be talking, and you're like, we don't talk like that here. Well, we do at my house. Well, you're not at your house. You're in my house. In this house, we have different rules. In this place, we don't play that. Come on, somebody. Come on. Who's the moms in the house? We just had Mother's Day last week. You know what I'm talking about. You're real sweet till someone starts messing with your world. You say, not here. So He's the God of the impossible. Come on, talk like somebody is trying to mess with you. They just told you that your job is at risk. The doctor said, I got to have you come in a few weeks. We got to talk about what we saw. Have you ever noticed doctors don't even tell you? They say, it's better if we talk in person. I'm available in 3 months. And the devil's messing with the area of your thinking. He attacks, Joyce Myers did a book called The Battlefield of the Mind, great book. He messes with the area of your mind. He messes with the area of your mind, and you got to be willing to say, no, I'm not allowing that. No, I'm not signing for that. No, you might be knocking, but I'm not opening the door. I respond to the voice. Jesus said in Revelation 3, if I'm knocking at the door, if you hear my voice, then open up, I'll come in. If you don't recognize the voice of covenant, the voice of the word, then you need to not open up. Because Jesus is the word, John 1:1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the word, the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh. So what is Jesus? His voice is the word. So when something's knocking to get entrance into your world, if it's not the alignment of the word, it's not Him. If it's not Him, keep the door closed and just let the devil know on the other side. The God I sing to, the God I pray to, He is the God. Come on, I'm going to stir somebody up today. He is the God of the impossible. people. I don't care what the doctors say. Praise God for doctors, but they only know so much. Praise God for accountants, but they only know so much. Praise God for tax people, but they only know so much. Praise God for all the help that's in the world, but they only know so much. And when the much is over for them, I'm still turning to Jesus. In fact, I think I'll turn to him first and not last, and let every situation wake up in the morning before you had a problem, before you knew there was an opportunity. Wake up and start the day off better than with coffee. Start off and say, I praise you, Jesus, for you are the God of the impossible, and you are doing the impossible for me today. Before I step into this day, before I walk through this day, before I deal with anybody in this day, I'm decreeing over my day that the God I serve, he is the God of the impossible. I'm starting off. He's before me. The psalmist said, he goes before me, he is behind me, and his hand of blessing is upon me. I'm starting off with him in front of me. Jesus, I'm following you. You are the God of the impossible. Look to your neighbor, say, neighbor, he is the God of the impossible. And he's doing the impossible for you today. Don't you tell me there's something that's in conflict with that word. Don't you dare tell me you have a story that's out of alignment with that word. Well, I knew somebody. Let all men be liars, the Bible say, and God be true. I can't tell you all the details of every person's life. Well, I knew somebody who has a cousin who knew a friend that lived down the road and had a neighbor. I don't know about those people, but I do know about one person, and his name is Jesus. And all heaven and earth is based on that solid word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails. Isaiah 55:11, as it goes forth, it will not return void. If you believe that, give him a praise. We're going somewhere today. Psalms 111, verse 4 and verse 6. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. This has been a year of God doing some amazing stuff. Just talked to a gentleman who came up and said, hey, just want you to know that we had prayed for him on his back. He has, was it back surgery? I'm looking right at you. You were facing back surgery? Or did you have back surgery? How many back surgeries did you have? Two back surgeries. Two. And still in pain. And came and got prayed for. And he said, well, we laid our hands on him, prayed for him. He felt warmth and heat go into his back. And he came up to me this morning before service. And how many weeks ago was that? Say again. 12 weeks ago. And he's saying, I just want you to know, make sure I get it right, that your back is just as good, better than it's ever been in your life. Is that what you said? Come on, somebody. He is the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible for you today. You say, well, that's just a back. Well, if it's your back, it'd be a different story. We've had several women who had been diagnosed with breast cancers, having masses, and then get prayed for and going back, and it's clean slate. We've had people that have been diagnosed with other cancer healed by the power of God. This is this year. This year. We had a gentleman who was blind. You say you've told that before, and I'm going to tell it again. Who started dealing with cataracts and scar tissue and had to be put on a transplant list. Could not see, could not drive, could not work. Get prayed for. I mean, the pupil of his eye, you know, usually the pupil of your eye is black. His was all white. Get prayed for. And his vision restored. And the doctor's saying, you don't need to be on any transplant list. Get his license back. Get his job back. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. There's even more to that story. I'll wait and one day have them tell the rest of it. Because it just gets better. Come on, somebody. Because when God's doing something, he doesn't stop with just what you... We will remember. See, big things, you're going to remember that. People don't remember of, oh, I had a toenail that hurt one day and Jesus healed it. No one remembers that. But if you have a story, I once was blind. Lord Terry's, your great-great-great-grandchildren will be talking about. Mama, tell me that story about great-great-great-granddaddy. How he was, what, blind? Tell me, I want to hear that story again. I'm not trying to wish any negative thing on you, but I'm just saying everything the enemy meant for evil against you. Some of you have been praying, God, why me? Why am I being attacked? I'm telling you why you're being attacked. He's the devil scared of the word and the destiny on the inside of you. But don't be intimidated for any reason, the Bible says. That means don't let the devil see you sweat. When the devil says, what? Oh, it's too late for you. Oh, this is disqualify you. Say, no, this is going to be another great chapter in the story that the God that I serve is the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. I love that. So even when the enemy thinks he has something, God's saying it's really not his. All he's doing is holding it for you. I've already given it to you. He might not be aware of it. She might not be aware of it. But at the right time, if it's Israel going to the Egyptians and saying, we're leaving tomorrow, what do you have for me? Oh, I guess, yeah, I'll give you all my gold. It doesn't matter. The day before, an hour before the moment, they thought it was theirs. And I'm telling you, the world thinks what they have is theirs. But the word of God says in the last days that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It doesn't mean that we're lazy. It doesn't mean that we... hands and do nothing. It means we obey God. And in the process of obeying God, he will put you at the right place, at the right time, at the right people, even if you're not even aware of it. And you'll begin to see a transfer of the wealth of the world into your hands. And it's not only for you to be blessed, it's for you to be a blessing. Because not everything that comes into your hand needs to be consumed by your mouth. God is doing it to establish covenant. He's doing it for the last harvest, last great day harvest before the rapture. I don't believe in the rapture. Well, you can hang out and stay around. We'll let you make sure you turn the lights off after we leave because we won't be here. But there's a benefit. A lot of people, we miss out on the bigger picture because we only see ourselves in the picture. We miss out. Whatever that is in covenant, this is not you being greedy. See, every truth can be taken to an extreme on both sides, and people mess it up. This is not you being greedy. Greed is wanting what does not belong to you, that belongs to somebody else. We're saying all that's been purchased by the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Do you want it? It's the receipt. The New Testament covenant promises, the promises of God are yea and amen to you. They are exceeding great and precious promises, and they are the receipt from heaven. If you go to unload your grocery cart and you think, where is that? Didn't I buy that item? And if it was on the receipt but not in your cart, you're going back in, and you're going to have a conversation with somebody. Somebody, I paid for this. It's on my receipt, but it's not in my cart. I want it. You don't walk away and say, well, I guess it was God's will for me not to have those things in my car. I know I saved money and I bought a bunch of ribs for Memorial Day weekend, but that's okay. I think everybody will be happy with just potato salad. Sorry, folks. God didn't want us to have ribs because there was no ribs in my car or in my cart. I paid for them, but it must not be God's will for us to have ribs. No, you would not. You stinking liar, you. You would walk back into that store and say, I'm not serving my family at a picnic giving potato salad only. Are you kidding me? I paid for ribs. I paid for those. I want my family to eat what I paid for. And God is saying, listen, I paid for on the cross of Calvary healing, blessing, peace, and joy, all the promises of God. And once you find them, you need to go back and say, wait a minute, it belongs to me. I don't need to live life without what has been purchased. If God's bought me a ribeye, I want a ribeye on my plate. Do you know what I'm saying? If you believe that, give him a hand clap. I just want what God has for me. If God has joy for you, then let's get that joy. And we think that it's only about us. But it's not just about us. It's about the plan of God. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Sure, there's a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That life means, the Greek is the zoe, the quality of life that comes only from God. If we have the quality of life that only comes from heaven, then we should stand out differently from people who only have a quality of life that comes from the earth. Now, you define that the way you want to define that. But there's a quality, a richness, I like to say, like a chocolate cake. I'll use that illustration. I've used that before. Have you ever taken a bite out of cake and it's like real dry? Nasty. Cheap. Someone decided to cheap on the quality, on the ingredients. But those who do it right, now I'm not a baker. I couldn't bake a cake if I had to. But I've eaten a lot of cake, so come on. Yeah. Eyes up here. If someone bakes a really good chocolate cake, then it's what? We say, oh, wow, that is rich. It's moist and rich. And the flavor is so strong that one bite, you have to set the fork down just for a minute and drink a couple glasses of milk. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anything less than milk is not right. You don't drink Dr. Pepper. You don't drink Mr. Pibb. You don't drink Mountain Dew. No, it's got to be milk because it offsets the level of a rich quality of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. We call it a dynamic life. It's a life that it honors God for you to have what he's purchased for you. It benefits you for you to have what God's purchased for you. See, the devil's creeped in through religion and told people, and they believe it, that God sits on the throne of heaven and doesn't want you to have anything. He wants your life to be miserable and hard and struggle, and he gets glory. But you can't find that in the Bible. John chapter 15, verse 7, 8, 16 says, this is what gives glory to your Father, Jesus said, that you produce much fruit. And that fruit was in the context of prayers being answered. Thank you for the three amens we got. Because some of us, nobody here, some of us have been religiously brainwashed and not biblically taught. Because we think our Father, Heavenly Father, is stingy. And our Heavenly Father is not stingy. The Bible says, if he would not withhold his own son, what would he withhold from you? Because if he would withhold something, give you Jesus, but not the something, then you have to define logically that the something is of greater value to God than his son. Right. See how the devil creeps in? The Bible says comes in like an angel of light to deceive. Power of deception is you're not aware that you're deceived. And that's why we need the word to renew our mind. And so it gives glory to God. It benefit to you, but it also impacts other people's lives. 2 Corinthians 2:14, not to re-preach this. It gives glory. You become an aroma of the knowledge of God that God uses by you wherever you go. Why? Because if you were blind one day and now you see, atheists want to know what happened to you. If you were crippled one day and now you're running down the street, somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus or ever have gone to church or maybe never heard the gospel notices something different about your life. When everybody else is freaking out, you stay calm. Something's different about your life. When everybody's bowing and they throw you in the fire and you don't get burned, the story just changed. But for us to receive what God has that glorifies him, benefits us, but impacts other people's lives, we have to receive it, Hebrews 6:12, by faith. Yeah. Now that faith, and we've been doing a daily broadcast online, and I think we're at like Bible study number 24, literally, on what is faith. Because faith can be a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Some people think faith is, oh, you're a believer. You believe in some person with convictions. Well, the Bible says that demons even believe in God and fear and tremble. Right. See, faith is just not a belief. Faith is a force from heaven that enables, converts, takes what God has for you and brings it into your life materially, manifest. Into your physical body, into your mind, into your spirit, into your finances, into your checkbook, whatever it is. Now, will people take every truth and take it to an extreme? Yes. Don't worry about the extremist. Let's keep in the middle of the road with the Word of God. But faith, we receive every answer to your prayer by faith, Hebrews 6:12. You cannot please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. Faith comes from the Word, Romans 10:13. This thing called faith. And so we have to make sure that we're in faith so that we can receive. So Hebrews 11:33, they obtained promises, they subdued kingdoms by faith so we can live the life that God has. We need to understand this thing called faith. Right. And it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God. Yeah. Jesus gives us I'm going to say it this way. It's not going to be totally accurate. Just stick with me. And we used two references last week, but gave us an outline of faith, a recipe for faith. Or if you're into marketing, you'll know this phrase, a funnel of faith, which is if you trickle through the ingredients, when you get to the end result, this is what should be happening. Are you with me? Matthew 13, verse 15. Let's look at this. For this nation's, Jesus talking, for this nation's heart has grown hard, and with their ears they hardly hear, and they have tightly closed their eyes. So their heart is a reaction. It's hard. Hebrews 4 talks about that. It's an unbelief. They could not enter the promised land because their hearts were hard. They lived in unbelief. Therefore, they could not receive what God had already prepared for them. And so it's a condition, a reaction to something else. What is it? They couldn't hear. Why couldn't they hear? Because they weren't looking. They closed. They chose to close their eyes. Have you ever talked to your children when they're young and you go to correct them and they do this? What are they doing? They are saying, I am not giving you time and attention. Right? You're like, open those eyes and look me in the eye right now. Look, when you're talking to me, look, I'm talking to you now, look at me. That is a choice of It's a choice. It's a will. They chose to close their eyes tightly. Notice the result. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes. So if they'd open their eyes, and this is just, it's using the physical eyes, but it represents something greater. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes. As a result, then they would what? They would hear with their ears. And then as a result, they would understand with their heart. Psalms 119, the entrance of his word gives understanding. It gives understanding to the simple or the childlike or those who are open to receive. It would give understanding, Matthew 13, it goes to the heart. It gives understanding with their heart, and they would what? Turn. They would act. They would turn to me, and I would heal them. They're wanting healing or wholeness. That's where that word comes from. Just not a physical thing, but healing, wholeness in every area. It's the quality of life. You might be physically healed, but your finances might be sick. You might be financially healthy, but your marriage is on the rocks. Your marriage might be healthy, but your state of mind, your mindset. There's all these facets of who we are. All these facets. And to every facet, there's a promise. To every facet, there's an anointing. Isaiah 11 talks about the seven anointings that God put on Jesus that's available to us. Seven. Notice, and I would heal them. So what kept them from being healed wasn't Jesus, because the Bible says that God had sent his word and healed them. He had sent his word. The word was present to heal, but they could not receive. Now it's getting quiet. So I want to talk about one facet of that enables us through the process so that we can receive. I don't care if you're being challenged financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, whatever it might be. We're going through this because I want you to have what God has made available to you. And the devil will say it'll never happen for you. Don't use your past perspective to define your future destination. And we have to back up and talk and look at this concept of seeing. Seeing. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? To operate in faith, we have to get our vision right. You say, but Pastor, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is, but that not seen refers to a physical seeing. If you keep reading that chapter, it says these men and women of faith hadn't received, they did not receive all of it, but they had seen it afar off. They had, it's a understanding, a revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. Where you begin to see things, not as it is in the natural, but what God says it is in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. What it is by covenant. Yeah. That's why on the armor of God that you wear, the Bible says take on the whole armor of God. What is that helmet? It's a helmet of what? Talk to me, church. A helmet of, see, I have to eat lunch, get to this graduation. Work with me. What is the helmet? Helmet of salvation. Where does the helmet go? On your head. What is that? Your thinking. Your perception. What is salvation? That's soteria in the Greek. Saved is sozo. It is a covenant word. It is a covenant word. That's a contract. The blood covenant of Jesus. And so what is it saying? One of the parts of the armor for victory is that you begin to have your thinking filtered not based on your past, but based on the covenant of present. Yes. Well, they always told me, it don't matter what they might have told you, you'll never make it. They might have told you, you'll never get it. You might have you ever noticed when people that are over us in authority somewhere in the journey of life speak over you, those things, it sticks with you. Do you know why? Because words have power. We grew up hearing sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And it's not biblical. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Catch this. And every word, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Why? Because words have power. And we have allowed, because we allowed someone to speak over us. You better be careful who you allow to speak over you. You're sitting and they're standing. You stand. You do not let them have a higher position talking down to you. Physically, emotionally, perspective, any area. You have to be willing to stand up and say, wait a minute, you don't talk like that to me. People of authority, people you don't even know, people you know just talking casually, if they're not careful, they will begin to decree over you a curse. What is the curse? Anything's wicked. What is wicked? Anything's twisted. What is twisted? Anything out of alignment of the truth. I'll say it. I've said it a bunch of times. I'll say it again. I don't care who. If I sense in my spirit someone speaking something over my life, I say, I curse that in the name of Jesus. I'm not here to explain it. I'm not here. I'm letting that word know it has no place in my life. Some of us, you were in third grade and a teacher stood over you and said, you're stupid. You'll never get it. You'll never get math. You'll never be able to spell. You'll never do well in school. You'll never become anything great. And it marked you and it caused you to think in your life that that's the way you are. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, anything that's been planted that has not been planted by my Father, He can and will uproot it. And I uproot out of your spirit, out of your soul today, everything that's been planted that was not from the heart of the Father. We are changing your perspective today in the name of Jesus. Let your mind be renewed, Romans 12:2. We are changing the view of who you see yourself. As long as you see yourself as deserving of failure, deserving of struggles, deserving of sickness, deserving of rejection, deserving of a bad marriage, deserving of broken relationships, deserving of all the problems in life, then the devil's got you. But when you wake up like the prodigal son who came to himself, he was awakened to who he was called to be, and he began to rise up, you'll begin to move forward and say, wait a minute, I don't have to, that is not my portion. I thought it was my portion. It's not my portion. Why am I eating from the wrong table? Yeah. If your mom was a great cook and you're living at your neighbor's house eating from a bad cook's table, somewhere along the line, as you're walking into that house, you're going to smell the aroma of your parents' house and say, why am I eating this garbage when my parents provided that meal? We have been eating from the wrong table long enough. He has prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies. But because God has done it, the enemy will try to prepare a table for you, and he will try to force feed you the garbage and crap from hell. And I'm telling you, starting today, if you weren't before, starting today, this is the day the Lord has made. You will rejoice and be glad in it. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are made new. You are not who you were told you were. You are not what life has told you are. You are something different. You were created in the image of God. Romans 8, 29, he is transforming you into the image of his son. Don't you settle for anything less than the table from your heavenly father. Say, that's not my portion. Maybe what the doctor says, but it's still not my portion. Maybe with the psychiatrist, counselors, but it's still not my portion. I will not embrace it. I will not receive it. I go to war against it, and I begin to stand on the word. As long as you see yourself as the way they tell you. Look through history. Gideon, you're a mighty man of war. Oh, no, you got the wrong guy. I'm the least in my family, and my family's the least in the tribe. That's how he saw it, but that's not how God saw it. And on the journey, when he got to come with me and they walked on the journey, he began to have a different perspective change. God does. I remember one time I was at a restaurant waiting for my table for breakfast. And as I was waiting, they called my name. But the lady who was calling my name just got the name wrong. And she began to call me by another name. And she was looking at me, calling me. My table is ready. They're trying to get me to the table. I wasn't responding because I didn't recognize the name that she was calling. Yeah. What am I telling you? God doesn't call you by your situation. He calls you by your destination. God does not call you by your situation. He'll look at Abraham and say, I now know you. You are Abraham. He calls you by your destination. And the reason a lot of us don't respond by faith is that we hear the call, but we think it's for somebody else. We'll hear the call. You're the healed of the Lord. Oh, that's going to be good for somebody. He's talking to you. You're blessed coming in and blessed going out. Everything you put your hands to, Psalms 1:3, is blessed of the Lord. Oh, that's good. That's a go. I hope somebody gets that. That's for you. You got to rise up and by faith and say, even if they were talking for somebody else, be like the woman with the issue of blood that said, I'm going to still get it by faith. It wasn't for me, but I'm going to touch him. And when I make contact with him, I'm going to receive what I need. See our perspective. 2 Kings in closing. Hey, I can still make it. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. Elisha's servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And Elisha answered, fear not. Say, fear not. When you're going to walk this journey of faith, you have to get past looking at the problem, because the circumstances creates fear. When Jesus had sent the disciples on a boat, he said, go on, and I'm going to send the people away, the Bible says, and I'm going to go to the mountain, and he began to pray, and at the third or fourth hour, he began to see that the boat was going through a storm, and so he decided, I'm going to join them, but I'm going to walk on water. And the Bible, in this Greg Bruce translation, challenge everything, please. And as he was walking on water, the one translation says, it was like he was about to pass them up, and they saw him coming, and what they saw, they did not believe could be him. And they got in fear, and they cried out, oh, Lord, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, come on, somebody. There's times you're not going to understand what God is doing. It might freak you out a little bit, but you got to listen for the word. And Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. And Peter, I love Peter. Peter's one of the guys that's quick. He'll be the first one to jump out. Sometimes he gets it wrong. Cuts off the servant's ear one time. He got it wrong. But there's times he got it right. I can't judge Peter because he's done some cool stuff. And Peter said, Lord, if that's you, call me. What we teach around here is not for you to adopt the ideology of me or a church or denomination, but you begin to challenge it in your own word, in your own time, with the word of God, and begin to say, God, if this is real, call me. Lord, if you've called me to be blessed, call me out to that place. If you call me to have energy in life and be healthy, come. If you call my marriage to be great and fulfilling, call me out there, Jesus. Because I know you're already there. He'll never get behind you and push you. The devil pushes. Jesus invites. The Holy Spirit welcomes. Call me. Say, call me. I'm telling you, get hungry for the things and say, God, I am so tired of this addiction. I'm so tired of waking up in fear. I'm so tired of this pain, whatever it might be. You have to get to the end of it where you're sick of it. As long as you like it and you're comfortable with it, you're permitting it. But until you get to the place of, I can't stand this anymore, this is not my portion. God, I am tired of this. Call me to that place that belongs to me. And Peter said, call me. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter stepped out of the boat. Now, nobody else stepped out. But maybe that's a good thing because he was talking to Peter. But I would have been like, well, me too, Jesus. Right? The others were hanging on to the boat trying to save their life. Sometimes we're trying to save stuff that God's already taken care of. We're stressing ourselves out. If we're not careful, are you listening? We can overwhelm and exhaust ourselves physically and miss out on the God opportunities in front of us. Jesus was not distracted by the circumstances. His focus is on destination. And he said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water. And the Bible says that when he began to... He began to survey the situation. He began to look, and saw the storm and the waves. The Bible says, then because he looked, he became afraid. That'll preach. Let's get back to Elisha. And Elisha said, fear not. Say, fear not. For those with us are more than those with him. Okay, I'll finish the... So Peter began to sink. And then he cried out and Jesus grabbed him. Rose him back up. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. Then Jesus corrected him. He didn't say good try. I'm saying good try because I've never walked on water one step. So he's a few steps more than all of us. Come on, somebody, on that. But Jesus said, you have little faith. Faith. And they got him back into the boat. So Elisha said to his servant, fear not. Say, fear not.
Fear not.
Man, fear will blind your mind, your perspective. Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them. There's sides here, but those who are with us. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes and he saw. Wait a minute, he was seeing before, but now he sees differently. He saw the enemy before, but now he's seeing differently. He saw the threat before, now he's seeing differently. Because the way he was seeing before created fear. Maybe there's a different view here. Maybe there's a different perspective here. Lord, I pray to you, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. What would be Elisha saying to him? He would say, look again. Shout, look again. You only look again because you missed something the first time. You look again because everything you saw is not everything that there is. What am I telling you? I speak over your life today, and I'm decreeing. Father, anoint their eyes today. Anoint their eyes. Let them see things the way you see them. Let them not just see it the way the world has taught them to look. Let them have the perspective of heaven today. Anoint their eyes in Jesus' name so they begin to see their situation differently. See the problem differently. See the opportunity the way you see it in Jesus' name. Now I tell you today, look again, because there's more going on that you did not know. You need to look again because that means, number one, there's some stuff you didn't see the first time. Number two, there's some stuff that's there that you didn't realize was going on. And number three, what you saw before is not permanent. The Bible says, looking not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen, for the things which are seen are temporal, which means subject to change. So when the enemy says you got a death sentence, you say that's subject to change. It's not my portion. Say, look again. All right, one more verse. I got time. So how do we see God's way? How do we see from God's view? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 gives us three parts. Cease not to give thanks for you. I cease not to give thanks for you, brethren, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Number one, let me back up. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Number one, if you want to begin to see the way God wants you to see, we need to pray. You need to pray. You need to be praying for yourself. You need to be praying for your family. You need to be praying. If Elisha would never prayed, he would never seen. Paul's praying for them. You need to be praying for your household. Praying over your children. The Word of God says you have not because you ask not. You got to wake up. Father, I thank you this day you've made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. And I ask you to open my eyes to see the way you want me to see today in every situation. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Number two, we need the anointing. There's stuff you do in the natural, but there's something you have to understand as a realm of the spirit. It's the anointing that opens up vision. It's the anointing. Father, I ask for a fresh anointing on my eyes today, my perspective, my thinking. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Number three, we need the word. Revelation, anointing comes from the word. Are you listening to me today? Never follow someone who only talks anointing but has no word. And never follow somebody who only has word but no anointing. Because according to the Bible, they've come together. He watches over his word to perform it. Signs and wonders follows the word. So if there's no anointing, someone's talking, they have information but no revelation. But if someone says, oh, I'm operating in power, but they have no word, something's wrong. Oh, they operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the miracles, but I'm telling you, people that operate in the gifts of the Spirit but have no word, they eventually go down the wrong path. I got really quiet. We need the word and we need the anointing. Amen. The anointing comes out of that word. The anointing comes out of that word. May give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How do we see? Pray. Two, get anointed. Three, get in the word. That's basic. The basics still work. As long as we're looking for something unusual, sometimes we miss on the significant because we're looking for spectacular. Because the power of the word, it still works. We need to read that word. We need to speak that word. Hear me now. We pray for people. We believe in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We have prayer lines. But sometimes people have replaced and used the prayer line to take the place of a renewed mind. And we'll let somebody else do all the work, and we think we get all the benefits, and we miss out. Because you have to know the word. When you get poked, you need the word to come out of you. If when you get poked in life, if you get tears coming out of you, you get complaining coming out of you, you get bitter coming out of you, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, we need the word within anointing. It will renew our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. You do the renewing, God does the transforming. And you begin to see things from a covenant perspective. You begin to see. It's not overnight. That's why the Bible says, let the word of Christ, the anointed word, revelation, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, I went to church one time last year, twice last year actually. Well, that's not enough. We need the word. We need the anointing. We need to be asking. God, I don't want to go through life seeing it the way I've always seen it. I want to see what's been there that I did not recognize. And you're not looking for angels. You're not looking for voices. That'll get you messed up, because if we don't obey the written word, we're not going to obey the spoken word. Did you hear me? Now, God can speak to you clearly, and you know it. But that's at a level after you've been in the word. Do you hear me? We need the power. God wants you to see, because if you don't have a perspective change, you can't believe. If you can't believe, you can't receive. And we blame God. We blame the devil. And God said, listen, if you just do the way I ask you, I'm going to get you to that place. Come on, somebody. Where you'll be walking in Canaan's land. You'll be walking where milk and honey. You'll be walking where your marriage is flourishing, your finances are flourishing, your mental health is flourishing. Everything that was bad in life before is no longer bad anymore. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he is the God of the impossible. And he's doing the impossible for you today. It's available to all of us. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap for praise, and we're done. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you understand, the way you process, and the way you experience, that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today you can. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask you to follow that prayer from your heart. Maybe this is the first time you heard the gospel. Or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one moving around. If you wanted to leave, you should have left 5 minutes ago. The reason I say it is not to be rude, because the importance of what we do. Salvation is the greatest miracle. We have to be at respect of what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing. But if you mean business with Jesus, you're like, I know my heart's not right. I want to get things right. Then I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first to say, welcome to the family of God. Heaven is celebrating. We're celebrating with you. Amen. I want to speak a blessing over your life. I believe in this day and age, one of the problems in the church world globally, it is lost the tenacity that comes from heaven. The Bible says we're to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in an inner person. That's not, hey, you come to church, get things right, and you go back out and keep failing, and come back to church and get things right, and you need to at least do that until you get things right. But there is a level of living that you're not falling to every temptation and every enemy that walks down your path. There's a strength that comes from heaven. And so I want to speak a blessing over your life, because we all need that strength. So if you prayed that prayer, and you mean business with Jesus, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You don't have to go anywhere, just stay where you're at. To stand up. You say, but I'm not comfortable standing up in front of people I don't know. I get it. But it's as hard as it is to stand up for people, for Jesus, in front of people who are celebrating, how hard is it to stand up for Jesus in a world that does not like him and set against him? We need the strength that comes from heaven. And so if you mean business, at the count of three, some of you are bold, I want you to move quick. Some of you are passive, but the bold ones move quick to encourage those who are passive. But the count of three, if you meant business with Jesus and you just given your heart to the Lord, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet right now. One, two, three, stand up. Who am I talking to? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Three, four, five. God bless you. God bless you. Am I right? Number six. Come on, church. Give him a hiccup. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. In the very back. Stay standing for a few minutes. Amen. Let me stretch your hands toward those who are standing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak over their life. We thank you that they are now brand new in you, Lord Jesus, purchased by the blood. Brand new. All sins are gone. No condemnation. We free them from all of the strategies and attacks of the enemy. No weapon formed against them will prosper. Father God, I thank you that any person that's been assigned with a diabolic assignment against them, I ask you to remove them far from them and bring in twice the amount of friends to replace them in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, and I ask you right now, according to your word, strengthen them with might by your Spirit. And their inner person, and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you.